East Coast College Training, July 13th through 19th, 2009, Athens, Georgia. Title: Christ Lives in Me. Monday Night Opening Word.
I have a problem. Is it on? I have a problem with the training or with any of the brothers. No, I have no problem. But I really feel deep in my spirit that the Lord is doing something very fresh on the whole earth today. Amen. And especially because of where we are in the United States. I have personally been hoping for this day, dreaming for this day, expecting and anticipating this day for a long, long time. But as it were, we human beings, we cannot make things happen. We are in another realm, the realm of the Spirit. And in the Lord's recovery, we don't use the human effort to sort of stir things up and organize things, because they don't last, and that is not the Lord's principle. That's something natural. But when the Spirit moves, my goodness, you cannot stop it. And you have to follow it. It's like wind coming. And I just feel in these days the wind is starting to blow. Amen. Now, it's not at hurricane stage yet. I don't know what you call number stage 5 or whatever. When I was young, I'm not from this part of the world. I'm from the other side of the world. Over there, we don't call them hurricane. We call them typhoon. And typhoon is from a Chinese word, I think, which means hurricane. Okay. But we're in the Far East, so it's called typhoon. And I live in a place where there are a lot of typhoons. And in the typhoon season, they would hang, you know, they pull this thing up, and everyone can see it, and they know what stage is the typhoon or how close the typhoon is to town. And based on those things, and it goes from stage 1 to like stage 7 or something like this. And based on the scale of this thing, it determines whether you have to go to school or not. So I'm always, like all my peers, hoping the typhoon will hit. The bigger the better. That means day off. Let me tell you, these typhoons, they just don't happen. It starts with some stronger breeze, and then it increases. You know, it goes from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, you have to listen to the radio in those days, the announcer will come on and tell you just where it is, and it's quite exciting in a way, at least to a little kid. And so, and before the typhoon really hit, everything is calm. It's like a dead calm, almost eerily calm, before it really hit. I mean, like turning, capsizing boats and causing tremendous mudslides and blowing, you know, roofs away and all of that kind of thing. Well, I'm not a meteorologist. I'm not a weatherman, and I'm not here predicting anything at all. But somehow in my spirit, I really feel the Spirit is blowing. Amen. A kind of wind in his recovery, not just here, but all over the earth, to bring the Lord's recovery into another stage. Amen. Another stage. And I don't know what this stage will be, but I have some inkling that this stage will be a stage of perhaps the beginning of a final revival. Now, how long would that be? I'm not a prophet. What will happen, transpire? I'm not a prophet, so please don't hold me to anything. But I am saying that I cannot deny, based on my inward feeling and based on what signs I observe. You know the prophet in the Old Testament, right? He prayed, then he watched the clouds. You know, then he pray again, then he watch the cloud. So the principle is when we pray, we also have to watch the environment to see how much the Lord is responding to that prayer. Then you know what else to pray. You see? You see, this is a, even in that little episode, there in the Old Testament, it is a demonstration of the cooperation of man and God. You see, men pray, and then God works. And then men observe God's work, and then men pray accordingly, and then God would work more. Do you see that cooperation there? So we are praying on the one hand. On the other hand, we're observing. We're sensing. We're reading, both in the world situation, right? And then in the saints situation. And based on this, I just increasingly, I trust that I'm not alone, increasingly feel that the Lord is about to do something quite fresh. And when the Spirit moves in a fresh way, or in a particular way, a lot of unbelievable things will happen. Things that you cannot imagine will happen, will happen. Things that by human effort cannot make to happen, will happen. I always use this funny saying that they say, when the wind blows, even the turkey flies. You know, the turkey never flies, you know. The turkey is to be eaten, right? They don't fly. But the saying goes, when the wind blows, even the turkey can fly. That means the impossible happens when the wind blows. I don't mean we're all turkeys, but I tell you, brothers and sisters, when the wind blows, in other words, when the Spirit moves, extraordinary things happen in the divine and mystical realm. And so I just have this feeling. Now, I personally, I'm sure other brothers, have been in such a wind. And when you have tasted and know such a wind, you know what it's like. You know, before there's going to be a shower of rain, the earth smells different. There's some chemical things going on that make the earth smells different. Then you know the rain is coming. Or before the hurricane came, everything, you know, the eye of the storm and all of that kind of stuff, so everything became quite calm. And so I just am feeling that these days I'm smelling stuff. And I am feeling stuff that I cannot verbalize. I just cannot convey so well, but I'm just sensing this. And so, you know, next week, we're going to pray, right? Did you hear about this? If you have not, you get on that website called beseeching.org. You'll find out what's going on. The co-workers in this country are coming together for a special time of prayer, and as will many brothers and sisters and churches who have the burden to do so. I really believe this is not just something we're trying to stir up, some global prayer day or something like that. I have no feeling whatsoever that way. I have the feeling that this prayer is the result of seeing and sensing the Spirit's moving. And rendering the Lord yet another level, a higher level of cooperation. So that the wind can be unleashed. The Spirit can come. Now, I'm speaking freely. I hope you young people understand and I trust that those of you who sign up for this weekend, you all got something. You all have some base. You all are paying a price. You all have some. You all here. So I believe I can say something more than just a regular young people's meeting. So you got to remember the situation in after Christ ascended. You know, Christ ascended to the heavens. And if you study that carefully, that scene of ascension is actually depicted much later through the vision and revelation of the Apostle John in chapter 4 and 5 and 6 of what? Mainly 4 and 5 of Revelation. So the Lord, listen, the Lord was resurrected, right? 40 days later, you know the story, right? He ascended publicly in front of the gaze and eyes of these disciples physically to the heavens. And after he ascended to heavens, he left them with a promise. Well, with a charge and then with a promise, right? The charge is what? What? You will be my witnesses, right? From Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And in various other synoptic gospels, there were more specific charge, right? Go to the nations. Go to preach the gospel to the under the creation, right? Go. That's the charge, basically. G-O, go. That is still the charge today. And you will see this week in the training, it's go. All right. Now, and with a promise, not just a charge, a promise. The promise is what? Wait. Wait in Jerusalem. The promise of the Father will come. Will come. And these two things, the charge and the commission, are entirely related. Because without the charge needs the promise to fulfill it. If you have the charge, you have no engine and no fuel and no fire, nothing happens, right? But the promise is not just given for in vanity. The promise is given for a purpose, and the purpose is to fulfill the charge. So the charge and the promise from the resurrected Christ is what? Two sides of one coin. So he ascended to the heavens and disappeared physically. Don't know where he went. Nobody knew. Of course, they were filled with joy. They were excited. They were encouraged. They all went back to Jerusalem in an upper room. And you know, for 10 more days, you know what they did? They prayed. 120 of them, including women and children, pray for 10 full days. Now, that's all they knew. They were just praying. They didn't know what was going on in the heavens. No one knew. Until Revelation 4 and 5, the scene was open to us. While they were praying on earth, something momentous was going on in the heavens before the throne. What was it? It was a scene of Christ being Christ ascended. So the disciples saw this end, Christ ascending. And John, in chapter 4 and 5, saw from this end, Christ coming. He was in spirit on the Lord's day, right? He was right there in that with a heavenly ladder connected to the throne, and he got the television televised into his spirit of what is going on up there. And it was about the ascended Christ being enthroned, being inaugurated, to be the Lord, to be the leader, right? To be the King, to be the Savior of all. He was on the throne there. As what? As we call the Lion Lamb. He was a lamb freshly slain, and he was called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So there you have the Lion Lamb Christ, ascended Christ, on the throne. And listen, 24 elders representing the angels, right, were there prostrating, praising, worshiping the ascended Christ, and also four living creatures. Am I right? Representing the creation were there also doing the same thing. Okay. And of course, eventually it led to the point that no one was found, a scroll was handed out. That scroll contains God's mysterious economy, especially of the New Testament. No one was found worthy to open it. Eventually, it says the Lion Lamb was prevail to the only one qualifying this whole universe to open that scroll. My goodness, I tell you. And he opened it. Seal 1, seal 2, seal 3, seal 4, all the way to seal 7, and all the way to the end of Revelation. Actually, you know, that seal all the way goes to the New Jerusalem, even into eternity future. But the first seal that was opened was a white horse. Seal number 1 in God's New Testament economy is the release of a white horse. That horse galloped off out of the gates, galloped, and we know that horse is the horse of the gospel of peace. And that horse started running all the way to the consummation of this age, along with the subsequent horses, the horse of red horse of war, and then the black horse of famine, and the pale horse of death. And right there in these four horses is the history of humanity since Christ's ascension all the way to Christ coming back. That is it. And I tell you, that scene in the heavens, those 120 never seen it, did not see it. But you know what they were doing? They were praying. I tell you, listen, this is heaven and earth cooperating. They don't know what is going on in the heavens. Just like tonight, I don't know what is going on in the heavens. I don't know. But I'll tell you, we know how to pray. We can pray. That 120 was on the earth corresponding to what is going on in the heavens. The opening of the New Testament economy of God has to do with 120 praying. And at the end of the prayer, the promise of the Spirit, the Holy of the Father, the Holy Spirit, the economic Spirit was poured out. Amen. And that promise was fulfilled. And the result of that promise was that they became witnesses. Amen. In Jerusalem, and then in the ensuing years, what? Spreading from there to Judea, all of Judea, then all of Samaria, then all of the whole known world at that time, and that is basically Europe. Do you see this? Do you see these two things? Why am I talking to you tonight about this? You say, tonight I'm supposed to say a word about the training. Well, this is the training, okay? If you get this. All right. So my point is this. I come back. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is doing something. In the heavens. And something that has to do with the unfolding, further unfolding of his economy in this age. Okay? Whereas the scenes I just described to you was 2,000 years ago at the beginning of the opening of that scroll. Today, brothers and sisters, we are getting to the end. I don't know when the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh seal will be open. If they have not been opened yet, and according to prophecy, it seems they are not yet, they will be opened very soon. And fifth seal, sixth seal, and seventh seal will lead to the, especially seventh seal, will begin the final years of this earth. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to tell you what is in the Bible. Now, I just feel these days our position, our responsibility is much like the 120. They bore the responsibility in the opening of God's economy. We somewhat bear the responsibility of the closing of this economy. I don't think I'm too much. We say we're here to bring the Lord Jesus back, right? Yeah. You know what that means? That means we have to work out his economy, at least to certain degrees, so that his bride can be prepared and he can come back as the bridegroom to this earth to consummate this age, to judge the nations, to judge this universe and to usher in his eternal kingdom,
Amen.
Which after 1,000 years will consummate in the new Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, this is no fairy tale. This is not just some kind of Bible exposition. This is real. Because John saw it. John said, I saw it. That means to God, who has no time element, this has happened already. Otherwise, John couldn't have seen it. But today, we're still in time. We're still in time. So I don't think I'm too much to say this to you young people. I don't believe you're too young for this. And tonight, I want to start with challenging all of you college young people to be that generation to bring the Lord back.
Amen.
And the first thing you can do is to join in the prayer.
Amen.
The end time prayer.
Amen.
With the view of God's economy.
Amen.
Today, there are a lot of people who also talk about the end times, who talk about the gospel has to go out. Yes, there are these things in Christianity. But our understanding of this far, far exceeds what they see. Our vision of the end times is not the same. Our vision of the gospel is not the same. What has been given to us in the recovery is a lot higher than what is preached commonly out there. So, I hope you get what I'm saying, and you will give yourself to pray.
Amen.
Now listen, you are not too young to pray.
Right.
I remember when I first came to the Lord's recovery, I was barely a freshman in college, but we were so caught up by what the Lord is doing, we were praying like crazy. We were not too young to pray. We pray for a long time. We pray strongly, intensely, powerfully, I would even say, as young people. You know, Ricky and I, we came today, Brother Dave drove us from the airport, and he was telling me the story of how he got saved, how he came to the recovery back in 1972, right? And by that time, I was already 3 years in L.A., three years in L.A. I'm a little bit senior than he is. That means a little older than he is. And, so many things I forgot he reminded me of. Well, what am I trying to say? I'd like to tell you that those days in the 60s and 70s, which you have no idea about, but those so-called Eldon days, I must tell you, those were days of revival. Very, very special. I would say unusual times. Now, I'm not saying this so that we can replicate that or try to copy that or try to repeat that. Forget about it. God never repeats. Okay? Well, he does repeat, I should say. You know, he because we don't get it, you know, so he has to repeat. But what I mean is we are not here trying to repeat some era, trying to bring back some old memory. Forget about that. I tell you, God is going on.
Amen.
I believe what we will experience and enter into will far surpass what we experienced in those days.
Amen.
In the Lord's recovery, we have seen several revivals. I'll name them for you, okay? The first revival is the revival when the recovery began in Fuzhou, in Fujian, when the Lord used Watchman Nee and some others with him to bring forth, it's a small one, but nevertheless, a very special time of revival with the gospel prevailingly preached, okay? And many being brought to the Lord, and not only to the Lord, but the beginning of the way of the Lord's recovery. What I'm speaking to you is not from me, it's actually what Brother Lee shared. The second revival, I will tell you, is the revival in northern China, what is known as the revival in Chifu. That is Brother Lee's hometown, and that happened in the 1940, early 40s, about the time when World War II began. There was a great, great revival. Do you know at that time, they met for 100 days nonstop. 100 days, that's more than 3 months. They met nonstop, not because they decided to do that. Because the wind was blowing, so the turkeys flew. Today you can make up your mind to meet 100 days. You cannot do it. Because the wind is not blowing. But when the wind blew, 100 days is nothing.
That's right.
You just cannot not come together because the Spirit is doing something in a very, very extraordinary way.
Yeah.
That happened. That happened. And that result is migration to the north of China. And consecration the total abandonment to the Lord of the brothers and sisters prevailing. Then the third revival is actually in Shanghai, in China. That started there. Well, I don't know whether it's exactly started in Shanghai, but it was a time when Brother Nee, Watchman Nee's ministry was resumed. All the Spirit moved again, and the saints handed themselves over to the Lord's ministry, and there was a fire of revival, unstoppable fire that burned through southern, especially southern China, all the way. And that fire lasted from 1948 or so all the way to the early 50s. And that was the time when Brother Nee did the training and there was a revival in the churches. Many, many people were saved. That's right at the time when the communists came. So Brother Lee was sent out to Taiwan, and I would say that that revival affected even there in, you know, there in Taiwan, so that in just a year or two, from several hundred saints in Taiwan, the island of Taiwan, it grew to 20, 30,000 in the Lord's recovery. It was a very, very special time, okay? Then I would say the next revival, at least this, I believe that, and I think Brother Lee also said something like this, was the one in Eldon. When he moved in the early 60s to the United States, landed in Los Angeles, and there, after a few years of time, a revival, I would say, I wouldn't say broke out, that sounds a bit Pentecostal, but a revival began in a very, very prevailing way. I mean, the U.S. was open at that time. Many, many of us touched the recovery right around that time, came in at that time. It was most unusual. I was there, and so we tasted it, so we know what it is, you see. As far as since that time, has there been any major revival? Maybe, I don't know. Surely the Lord has been working, right? But what I would like to say is that before Brother Lee went to be with the Lord, in his last days, you know, he was speaking the high peak of the divine revelation, and God ordained way, and so many things. But eventually, one thing that came out in his speaking over and over and over again was that he was longing to see a final revival, a final. That's the word, right? A final revival, not just a revival of, not the Pentecostal kind of outward revival, but a revival of a kind of living, of God man living, right? A revival of the outworking of the God-ordained way, which builds up the body, you see? That, and he was predicting and praying that a revival that even the church has never seen. Well, I don't know whether you believe it or not. And he also said there must be such a revival before the Lord can come back. He said that. Now, dear brothers and sisters, it's been like this 12 years since he passed away. Just like this, 12 years. Oh, I tell you, this thing is always in us. When, Lord? You know? When, Lord? How long, Lord? We pray this and that. We just don't know. But the Lord is sovereign. He is on the throne.
Amen.
We don't see it. Something is going on, right? He's still opening those seals. But in recent days, listen, there is a kind of sense. One of the things is not just the outward signs. We look at the world situation. Surely there's a lot of signs there. But as we look within the church and look at the saints, there's another sign, not just those outward signs of the nations and all of that. There's also another sure sign, and that is the utter decline and degradation of religion, of the Christian religion, more than ever before, surely more than the 60s. I'll tell you that. And along with that, the utter degradation and sinfulness of the world. We have never seen anything like that. Unbelievable. All right? This is what's happening. This is there. Now, at the same time, we are seeing also what the Lord has given us, three main things. Number one, he has given us his life. And that is a God-man life. Am I right? We know what a Christian living is. It must be a God-man living. We also been given what? We also have been given the greatest truth, the deepest truth, the highest truth. We've been given that. And number three, we also have been given the scriptural way to meet, to serve, to build up the church. We've been given all these three things. And in these days, I'll tell you, all these things, in these years, all these three things, how, albeit slowly, have been infused into the body, being growing and developing in different ways. You cannot get away from them. And all these years, the certain foundation has been built, you see? Being built. And at the same time, we are looking just at the horizon in the recovery. We're seeing people like you rising up. This a new generation of young people is rising up. They'll keep coming, by the way, you know. Listen, I'm telling you history. You're young. You need some history sometimes. It helps. You say, well, I thought all the time we always have new generation. Well, we did. But do you know what? Over many years, I don't care about other places, but actually, generally speaking, in the East and in the West, but I'll tell you, especially in the West, since the 60s until now, generation after generation of people like you, many have been damaged by seasons of rebellion and, turmoil. This time, I tell you, since our brother's passing, you say, well, are there turmoil? Well, as long as we live, there will be turmoil. But what I'm trying to say is, at least in this country, there is a whole generation of young people being preserved, including you. And many who now are becoming moms and dads in their 30s, they're being preserved. And this is not a small thing. Now, what will the future hold? I said already, I do not know. But I know one thing, that the future has a lot to do with you. This future will have a lot to do with you. You, brothers and sisters, to me, is a very special group of people. Very special group of people. I mean, I won't tell you how old I am, but I'm pretty old. But if I could, I would exchange places with you. You said, I wish I'm like you. Well, come on over here. I'd like to exchange. We can't do that, you know. In other words, I'd like to be your age. I like to be where you are. Back in the 60s, I was sitting where you were, And we thought the Lord is coming. Lord Jesus is coming tomorrow. Remember that, Dennis? We thought the Lord is coming tomorrow. Well, we were just crazy. We gave up everything. We don't care. We were just crazy lovers of Jesus. We don't care for anything but the Lord, but the Bible, but the church. You know, we just didn't care. We just taken over by God's eternal purpose. That's what we were living for, you know. I tell you, blink and I, it's 40 years later. And now you can guess how old I am. 40 years later, and I'm changing place. I'm standing over here now, speaking this thing to you, and you're sitting over there. Oh, I'm so jealous. I am so, because I was there, so I know what it feels like. I wish I'm where you are. I wish I'm where you are. You are blessed. You are blessed. This is, we put out a newspaper called The Generation. I don't know whether you know about it. Because, you know how I know? Because I was the main one putting that thing together. We call it The Generation because from that verse, this is the generation that seek your face, O God of Jacob. We got that from that verse. Young people, you are the generation. Now, let's come back to this training. Well, I still have a little time according to him. Huh? Okay. This training. Why this training? We have conferences. We have so many things. Why an added training like this? Just because you're so important. You're so important to us, to the Lord. That there would be what? Special times for those young brothers and sisters who have a heart, who have a special calling to what? To be further perfected, not even waiting until the full-time training. But you don't need to wait until the full-time training, but please come to the full-time training. But you can be trained now.
Amen.
Absolutely. I believe today, and I'm burdened for a full upgrade of all age levels in the Lord's recovery, so that let's say the college age used to be here, spiritually speaking. I have a burden these days, the college age will be here.
Amen.
You'll be at what level? You'll be at the level of the people who used to come to the full-time training. You'll be at that level. So by the time you enter into the full-time training 4 years later, you'll be much higher, much more advanced than the full-time trainees who enter into the full-time training some years ago.
Amen.
And I'm seeing it.
Amen. Wow.
I'm seeing it. So the full-time training would not be a remedial school. The full-time training would be receiving burning, hot, solid, given young people.
Amen.
Coming to two more years.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what kind of perfecting? And after 2 years, when they leave that training, they will just be, oh, Lord Jesus, dynamite. You know the word dynamo, you know, power. The word power is the word, you know, the Greek word dynamo. I tell you, I just got an email from brothers. There's a whole bunch of trainees who are in Brazil now. Do you know that? I just got a fresh email of report. I read to the brothers. This brother from Rio de Janeiro, where they all landed, and then they scattered different places, wrote this long email in Portuguese, translated into English. And you can tell from the translation, he is just beside, it's like his heart is exploding in the speaking. And what he was saying is that these trainees that came to us, he say, we are just beside ourselves. Never seen anything like that. He said, it's not the message they gave, which they were doing, by the way. They were giving every night messages. Even Ricky's son is there. Isaac is there. But you know what he said? He said, these trainees living. Benjamin, I was so touched. It's not just their speaking, which is probably very wonderful, but the living that just knocked them over. These are positive things in South America. I am just so proud, if I may, because I'm in the full-time training, that our kids are they're living, convinced and confirms they're speaking. They're not just fluffy. They're not just all talk. They walk the talk, as they say. They live what they preach. They live out Christ. And listen, they are all now in their early 20s or whatever. Many of you are now in your teens. And young brothers and sisters, you can do the same. You are not too young to live Christ, to be a God man, to be trained, to be a kingdom person, to preach the high gospel, to build up the church, and to bring the Lord back. You are not too young. I reject that. I reject the thought, and I ask you to reject that thought that I'm old. Paul says, do not despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers. When I got into the church at your age, I prayed that prayer. Lord, I'm young. I'm a late teens. But Lord, I refuse to despise my youth. I would like, Lord, have mercy on me and make me a pattern to the believers. And somewhat I did. I'm not boasting, and I'm not the only one. But that was the kind of spirit within us, and I want you to have that spirit. Amen. And I hope this training, this next week, will put that kind of spirit into all of you. I know some of you are like right now are kind of tired and kind of like, whoa, what is going on? Where? What did I sign up for? Maybe I made a big mistake coming to Athens. Just wait. I like to come back here on Saturday and see you. I believe there will be a great change. I believe also the Lord moved quickly. Now, life grows, takes its time. We cannot hurry that. But we can also stall it or delay it if we don't cooperate with the Lord. Meaning, on the opposite, if we cooperate with the Lord, we can somewhat speed it up in a very proper sense. And we have seen this. We have seen young people like your age, very proper, very strong in spirit, very much functioning and serving, building the church. We've seen it. Preaching the gospel, shepherding people younger than they are, and new ones, and just serving in the church. Just unbelievable. They don't need to go to the full-time training, almost, or at least they have not been there yet, but they were already so... a spirit of a steward in the house of God. Unbelievable, but yet not unbelievable. It should be so. This is normal. An overcomer means a normal Christian. Not a super Christian, but a normal Christian. This training is not to make you super. This week is to make you normal. And you have to go back and make other of your peers normal like you. And you have to save a lot of your friends in your schools to make them normal like you. Amen. I would like to see locality, the Athenses, the whatever, Champagne or Urbana, whatever, all across this country being filled, the desolate cities, filled with young men like a flock. Amen. That means college age young people coming in. Some growing up from within, church kids, some being brought to the Lord. We'll see more of those, I believe, I predict it, coming into the Lord's recovery. And I tell you, all will be formed into a pneumatic army. Amen. A spirit-filled army. Amen. And I tell you, it doesn't take millions of them. It doesn't take hundreds and thousands of them. It doesn't even take tens of thousands of them. If the Lord would bless his recovery with thousands of these young people, I tell you, we will turn this country upside down. Amen. And you will do it. You will do it. It's the turn for the young people. It's absolutely the turn of the young people. When Brother Lee was here, he turned everything over to the young people. and even told the older ones, don't touch them. He did that. And we were sure we made mistakes and this and that, but the Lord was faithful. And I believe today you can do a lot. Young people, you can do a lot. I want to infuse you with that faith. You can be spiritual. You can be practical. You can be a God man. You can do so many things by the Lord's grace.
Amen.
By the Lord's grace. Amen?
Amen.
And I like to, you know, we sang the song, we have the blood of the Lamb. And I asked Ricky, let's sing another song. Well, we didn't have time. And that is a song, Let's Take the Land. You know that one? Let's take the land.
Amen.
Young people, take the land.
Amen.
This all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
You know? And for this, we have four things, which we have.
Amen.
You don't need to beg for it. We have it. Number one, we have the blood.
Amen.
This week, you have to declare, to, especially to the enemy, all day long, I have the blood.
Amen.
He lies to you. He talks like a parrot on your in your ear. Tell him to shut up and go to the lake of fire.
Amen.
I have the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
You may have a dirty past. You may have sinned. You may have failures. But you have the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And you can be naturally white again.
Amen.
Take the blood.
Yes.
The brothers overcame the snake, the serpent, by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Not by your merit. Don't try to be a goody-goody and win the war. This war is not won by you being good. This war is won by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Take that blood. Enjoy that blood.
Amen.
And number two, we have what?
The Word.
We have the Word. This week, we're going to fill you with the Word.
Amen.
And you're going to fill yourself with the Word.
Amen.
And I just came back from Sacramento. I could not believe they were testing twice a day. Not on Saturday, but twice a day. And they're having a grand time. The students, they're being tested. They have to memorize Galatians verses and outlines and subjects and headings. I don't know what they have to do. They were just doing it. And they were helping one another. They were not in a kind of competition. But they want everyone to make it. I just never seen anything like that. We have the Word. I tell you, brothers and sisters, be filled with the Word.
Amen.
Don't fill yourself with anything else. It's vanity. It's nonsense. Fill yourself with the Word of God.
Amen.
That makes you a solid human being.
Amen.
That makes you a absolutely a solid person. People with the Word of God are solid people. Don't fill yourself with all these computer games and it's junk. I mean, you're not solid if you're filled with those stuff. With the Word, my goodness, you read the Word, you pray, read the Word, you eat the Word, you digest the Word gets into your pores, gets into your cells. I tell you, you're a solid man.
Amen.
You're solid. Get into the Word this week.
Amen.
Amen? There'll be messages, there'll be much light and revelation. I even look at some of those notebooks of this in Sacramento, beautiful writing. That proves to me their kind of focus, their kind of seriousness. Brothers and sisters, have a very serious attitude this week. That will make this training for you. The training is the training, but you can make it, you can squeeze everything out of it by a serious attitude.
Amen.
Every day you're so serious in the Word of God, I tell you, you will reap the reward. You will get the result. Number three, we have the Spirit. Okay? I tell you, that means to contact the Lord. This training is to train you how to contact the Lord regularly, daily, in the morning, and also in the morning time with the Lord, touch the Lord, enjoy the Lord, eat and drink the Lord, and also during the day, especially in the matter of prayer. You will touch the Lord in prayer in the holiest of all, right? Be priests. That is before the incense altar, praying. I like to see a young generation that are warriors of prayer.
Amen.
You fight. You know how to fight by prayer. Young people, praying. You have to stop them from praying. You know, nowadays we have to coax them to pray. I hope the day will come we have to tell them to stop it. Too much prayer. But we're getting there. How about that? You know what? You can do it. But you need to build that up. You need to build up your prayer muscle. That is your mingled spirit.
Amen.
I serve God in my spirit with prayer, Paul says. Prayer is the way to serve the Lord. So this week, train yourself up in prayer.
Amen.
Twos and threes, by yourself, in groups, pray. Amen?
Amen?
And number four, we have the church. That means we have the body. Don't be alone. Never be alone. Always twos and threes. I think the brothers will do something. My twos and threes, the gospel, the prayer, the fellowship, the word. I tell you, you are in the body, with the body. My, that is powerful. So I tell you, these are, brotherly mentioned in Ephesians 1, there's fourfold power. I want to mention fourfold power. The power of the blood.
Amen.
The power of the word.
Amen.
The power of the spirit.
Amen.
And the power of the church. Apprehend this power. It's all yours. Take it this week. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I'd like to give you just two verses in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8. It says, don't get into these old womanish tales and fables and things. But what? Exercise yourself unto godliness. That is a word for you, young people. Exercise yourself unto God. That word exercise means gymnastics. That means you have to go to the gym. This is a 7-day gym. How about that? You are going to get out of here buffed, spiritually buffed, strong, full of stamina, full of muscle in the spirit, right? To carry out the Lord's purpose. So exercise yourself this week unto godliness. Godliness means a godly living that expresses Christ. When you're in these things, you cannot help but just to express the Lord Jesus in your daily life. Then it says, body for bodily exercise profits little. You know, bodily exercise, not bad. It profits a little. I do some exercise, I get some profit. But the exercise unto godliness has the promise. There's a word, has a promise, not only of this life, this life that we're in, but of that which is to come. That means the eternal life. Do you know what you do this week is build up something for eternity?
Amen.
Absolutely so. Amen. Absolutely so. You're building up something for the kingdom. You're building up something for eternity by exercising yourself unto godliness. This exercise, dear brothers and sisters, requires your exercise in your tripartite being. Exercise your spirit. Exercise your soul, mind, emotion, and will. Mind to apprehend God, understand His truth. The emotion to love the Lord. Love the Lord, right? And a will to say amen to Him and a will to reject the enemy.
Amen.
Okay, build up your tripartite man unto godliness. Even your body needs some building up. So don't, you know, sleep and do all the scheduled things so that your body can be maintained for the Lord's purpose. Will you do this?
Amen.
Okay, let me end with this. So the last day in Sacramento, I took these serving ones out for a meal, you know, the serving brothers. Many of them are now, some of them are in their 30s, with married, children, so on and so forth. And one by one, they testify. They, not all of them, but a good number of them, all are so strong today serving the Lord. It started in a college training. They testify. We started this training, you know when? 1991. It's been how many years? 18 years. Back in Fullerton, the first training, you know how many people? We have the grand total of 30 people, including serving ones in Fullerton. I still remember it. But you know, in those days, we have it twice a year, and each time, 10 days. It is grueling. It was grueling. Today, compared to today, this is easy stuff. So don't complain. You have no right to complain. Okay, but anyway, many of them, one brother sitting next to me, John Keller. John, he told me. He said that first training, he was an incoming freshman. Just turn him upside down. That was it. That was it. And he was not the only one. There was a number of them like that. Today, they are all young adults, so-called, and serving the Lord full-time. So useful. You know, I'm glad you left, Brian. He left. You know, he was there, then he left the last 2 days. And these younger brothers have to take over. Much better than he. That's why I say I want to leave. Because as long as I'm here, I'm this old man, you know. Well, we need still some old men in the recovery. But my point is, dear saints, rise up.
Amen.
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 So this week, we have four lines. The line of life, to contact the Lord, and the first line in the morning on the Spirit. Then we have the line of what? The gospel. We will have gospel speaking, very up to date, and even the going out with the gospel exercise. Number three, we have the line of the truth, right, at night, with much revelation and enlightenment from the wonderful epistle to the Galatians.
Amen.
Christ lives in me. Can you declare that?
Christ lives in me.
My, this is just four words to you. After these 6 days, you will be like, wow, wow. It's a marvelous book. You know, this Galatians is the book that Martin Luther is most famous for, justification by faith. You know, it's Romans and Galatians, but he wrote too much based on Galatians. But let me tell you, justification by faith is a teeny-weeny little bit of Galatians. Wait till this week, you will see the real Galatians, like you've never seen it. No joke. Oh, this will control your life. Rescue you out of religion, the present evil age, and to make you a new creation, the Israel of God. And the last thing you need is character. So we have schedule. You have to abide by the schedule. You have to be in your seat. You have to do these things. Listen, this is not bad. This is actually very good. In fact, the more you do it, the stronger you will become. The more positive, the more energy you will have. You know, you know, 3 o'clock, playing computer games, you won't be good for anything, you know. But if you're like this, my, so disciplined, so scheduled, I tell you, this is a great thing in your pursuit, in the building up of your spiritual life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm so happy.
Amen.
Well, this is my opening word. How about this? Is it okay?
Amen.
Okay, the Lord bless you all.
Amen.
I believe the Lord will.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I stop here.